When a person attains knowledge, learns knowledge, seeks knowledge, he is called the talib of ilm, the student of knowledge. Just like, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we have this gathering with Allah's grace and mercy, we are gathered together. So we are also talib ilm. We are also students who are gathered here to learn knowledge, ilm. Ilm could be the ilm of books, which is apparent, and the person who learns the knowledge from books is a student. And it could be ilm of the akhirah, hereafter. It could be spiritual ilm, could be batini, of the soul, knowledge of the soul. And even the person who is learning that knowledge is a talib ilm, the student. So both are students who are seeking both forms of knowledge are called students of knowledge. That's why I said that we are sitting here with regards to our batin, our soul, spiritual learning. So we are here to learn the ilm, the knowledge of the batin. But the principle for both ulum, for both forms of knowledge is the same. Just like ilm-e zahir, you learn the external knowledge in madrasas, institutes, darul ulums. In the same way, ilm-e batin, tazkiyah, purification, knowledge of purification, you learn from the khanqah, subhanAllah. So the external knowledge, zahir, you learn from the kitabs, and this knowledge of the soul you get from the hearts. It's distributed, it's shared. Both are students of knowledge, but you will see regularly that for both ulum, both forms of knowledge in the darul ulums, and those people who learn tazkiyah, purification of the soul, there are students. There are many students learning the knowledge, the apparent knowledge, external books knowledge, but there's only a few who become very great or good scholars. In the dunya, in the world, that person becomes famous, popular, and he was in the same class, just like we're sitting here, and there's many people in the class. And so what's the reason that person shines and sparkles? Or, for example, there's a teacher teaching the kitab, Sahih al-Bukhari, fiqh, jurisprudence. Everyone sat there learning the same book, they're writing the same notes, the same ustad, same teacher. So everything's there, but these means and resources will not make the difference between students. So what is it that makes a person very solid and great as a student, that he exceeds everyone else, he goes beyond the level of everyone else? What's the reason for this? What's the reason that, for example, in the Khanqa, the murids, they come, they sit with the sheikh, and all the murids are sat there, they do the same dhikr, same company. Why is there a difference that one student becomes very great and esteem and very high in status, and the other person's doesn't make any difference to him? So we are the students of knowledge. That's why it's very beneficial for us, for those people who are sincere, who sincerely want to attain their destination. So we should learn the points, we should grab hold of the points, we should understand the points, so that we can also make effort, work hard, and earn the fruits of the purpose of this learning, of this knowledge. So those people who've just come for the sake of it, they come, they go. It's not important for them the subject, but those who are focused on the hereafter, that we need to practice this knowledge so that we can benefit in the hereafter, then they should understand the points that we are discussing, so that we can bring the practical aspects into our life. This is not a minor thing, brothers, to come to such a majlis here like we are today. Allah Ta'ala said, this is my majlis, my gathering. Imagine the rewards that Allah is giving in to such a gathering. Is this a low level reward? No. So why should we leave empty handed? We will get many, many rewards if we do the right thing. Alama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, great personality in the history of Islam. He was a muhaddith, a scholar of the hadith, and he 50, 60 years taught the hadith. Okay, we could think about doing this as well. But his level was very unique. His level was very new. He was a great and a unique sheikh. It's stated that maybe within 1,000 years, such a person doesn't come to the world. This was his speciality. He was so great that Allah Ta'ala's mercy and blessings were with him. His heart was illuminated that 100,000 hadith, more than that, he had memorized the hadith. He had memorized. And if he had such a status that he's called he was made sort of equivalent in status to Hazrat Ibn Hajar Isqalani rahmatullahi, who was also a great scholar. So imagine the hadith and his knowledge and his status and the noor and the light in his life. So much light that when he would leave home, all the Hindus would see him and they would come into Iman. They would come into Islam. So this noise and clamor spread. What's going on here? That whichever village he goes through, people come into Islam. The Hindus convert. They said, what can we do? There's so much nur light on his face that when we see him, the kalama comes out of our mouths. Allahu Akbar. When he used to come out, then he would cover his face with a sheet. And a person who knows so many hadith, the tens of thousands of hadith he had memorized, and had given them this maqam level. Now he had also studied in the same institutes. He was also a fellow student amongst other students. So how did he get this maqam? Why was he unique and a standout as a Mufti Hazmihin Kifayatullah Rahmatullah Alayhi? He was sat once with his students. He also had a great status. And he said to his colleagues that, do you know the Anwar Shah Kashmiri, how he became what he was? You think that he studied books and he learnt ilm, knowledge, and you can say many reasons. But today I'll tell you the secret, the reason why he was such a high status scholar and sheikh. And we need to understand this, my friends, this point. That from both forms of knowledge, whatever you're a student of, whether it's external book knowledge, zahiri knowledge, or internal batini, spiritual knowledge. So for us students who want to attain the destination, we shouldn't waste time. We should learn from these examples. So, his colleagues were silent. They said, Hazrat, Sheikh, please tell us. We don't know. What was it that made Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Sahib what he was? What gave him the status? So he replied, I will just say one word due to which he got everything what he did. And he said, what was that? Adab, adab. Subhanallah. So he had adab. In the Arabic, there's a statement, there's a saying, that adab is a very, very important and essential factor. The adab, the manners, is the prerequisite. It's like a tree. Adab, manners, behavior, comportment, is like a tree. And its fruits are ilm, knowledge. So knowledge are the fruits of the tree of adab. So if you don't have the tree, how will you get the fruits? Have you ever heard that there's no mango tree? There are mangoes growing. Yeah, and there's no fruit tree, but the fruits are growing. First comes the tree, then come the fruits. So where there is adab, in other words the tree, then ma'rifah will come, Allah's nearness will come, the knowledge of Allah will come. If we don't have adab, they're not going to say, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to get Jannah, I want to go to this maqam and have a high level and get close to Allah. It can never be. So the foundation is adab. The manners, the intention. So Allah Ta'ala gave him great adab. Obviously he was a great personality, at a high status. But he said that he had adab and high level adab, great adab. We said, what adab did he have? Listen to this as well. That from the age of 7, when he realized things that were happening around him until the end of his life, it never happened that he touched any kitab without wudu. Allahu Akbar. This was his status from the age of 7. From the age of 7, Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Sahib, that we're talking about. And he had so much other manners, behavior, that, subhanAllah, because he was learning ilm, knowledge, he never said that kitabs, he was learning and he knew everything. Rather, for example, it wasn't that he would, for example, you know, someone has a kitab here and it's for reading. No. For example, he would follow the learning of that kitab, he would be immersed in that specific kitab and he would complete that before moving on to another kitab. You know, for example, you see in books, you have introduction and you have the writing on the top, on the bottom. When he'd read the writing of the book, then subhanAllah, he would follow the teachings and the guidance and the respect of that kitab would come into his life. He had a very high status and there are many events that show the adab that he had towards kitabs. This is one example of his adab. So my brothers, what's the point here? Is that whenever a person wants to go to a destination, he should learn the principles, the methods, and then Allah Ta'ala delivers that person to that level, to that destination. Allah Ta'ala gives that person the status and the level, but he should have a bit of courage, determination, and adab. And this is the same with regards to tasawwuf, spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the heart, the batin, the soul. I can give an example of such sheikhs who have passed in our Naqshbandi order that their backs over a period of time, their backs would be like crooked. They would never look up and see their sheikh straight in the face. They had respect for their sheikh. And so much adab and so much maqam and level and status they had, that how they would present themselves to Allah all day and night. They would be in the same place. And never did it happen that they even changed their position. So this is working hard. Working hard. If you want to attain something, achieve something, you can't achieve without working hard. So tasawwuf, the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, the knowledge of Allah, purifying the heart, we need to make effort. When a person makes effort, he has adab, manners, comportment, he has good regard, appreciation and value, and he works hard on top of that, then how will Allah Ta'ala leave that person empty-handed? Never. As the Thanvi Sahib Rahimahullah stated, that the person who has focus where he is going, whether it's ilmi zahir, the written knowledge, the book knowledge, or the internal knowledge, the first requisite, the first step is adab. Adab. Behavior, manners, appreciation, value for what you're doing. And the first thing that happens to prevent us from doing this correctly is that a person becomes disrespectful. Disrespectful. So he goes from respect of the deen to disrespect. He starts thinking that I am this, I have learned this knowledge, I have more knowledge than others. And he becomes a bi'adab person, a person who disrespects others or things around him. And what's the punishment for a person who's disrespectful? The person who is disrespectful, the biggest punishment is that Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow him to become aware that he is bi'adab. In other words, he is disrespectful. Allah Ta'ala doesn't let him feel that. He still stays big-headed and big shoulders and chest sticking out. It's me who did this, and he has dreams, and he has feelings, he even cries, and he has emotions. But this is all deception and darkness. The real, genuine motive is something else. This is not Allah's ma'rifah. If a person sees dreams and sees kashf and visions and feels good, no. This is not the achievement a Muslim is looking towards. And that Muslim, he's deceived, he's running down that dark alley. But a person who has adab, who has good behavior and respect for the deen, he doesn't have these false feelings. So the punishment for the person who is disrespectful, he thinks, I'm fine, I've got a great status, I'm a great person, I'm a great believer, but he doesn't know how far behind he is. So my brothers, we should pray to Allah, that Allah, whichever ilm you take us towards, the book form, kitab ilm, or with the fadl of Allah, with spiritual knowledge, you go to a khanqa, you meet a sheikh who teaches you, then may Allah keep us with respect, with manners and good behavior, and be cautious. And this is a big mujahida, striving. A person who is trying to stay respectful of everything he's learning and doing, then he should maintain the ongoing. For example, I feel like going and sitting in front of my sheikh for an hour and a half, but maybe I'll be disrespectful if I sit in front of him. Maybe I'll go to him without wudu. Maybe I'll keep on changing my position and disturbing Hazrat. Or maybe I'll stare and glare at him in the face. These are things that count. They seem like just minor common things. For example, you come and sit down, speak, how are you? This happens as well. And the other person, he's opposite to that. No difference between the heavens and the earth. How the ma'rifah of Allah Ta'ala comes to those people who have good manners, good behavior, and respect. And those who are disrespectful, the difference between the respectful and disrespectful is like the gap between the heavens and the earth. And the khanqa, that's why it's important for the student to have soba, to have company of the sheikh. For example, somebody does 100,000 repetitions of Allah's name in the day, dhikr. And the person, he sits with the sheikh 10 hours, he doesn't do that much dhikr. He is greater, the person who's sitting in the company of the sheikh. Why? Why does he get a high status? Due to adab, he learns inside respect and manners. He cleans his heart, purification, standing, sitting, walking, talking. Automatically, such great emotions and characteristics and qualities come into that person inside him, that the doors to Allah Ta'ala's nearness are open for that person. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has himself given us the tariqah, the methodology. We haven't made this up. This is a new deen, a new kitab, new learnings. No, Allah's put conditions for how to learn any form of knowledge. If you want to learn knowledge, then Allah's put preconditions for the requisites before you learn. The first requisite is adab. And this is not from today. This is from the days of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a verse of the Quran, isn't it? Well, Allah is saying to who? The Sahaba ikram, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. And people like Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhum, that don't speak in a volume louder. Your voices shouldn't be louder than my Habib.
isn't it? So what does Allah Ta'ala talk first to the Sahaba? Adab, manners, respect for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this continues to today. This is a precondition. If you want to learn ilm from any teacher, any ustad, then first learn the principles of that ulum that you're learning. For example, you go Darul Ulum, an institute of learning. Adab there is a little bit different. And the best student is he who continues to question his teacher. Nicely, but continues to question. But in the Khanka, the greatest student, the best student is that student who does taqleed. Who doesn't do tanqeed, he doesn't keep questioning and challenging, he does taqleed. He follows blindly, if you want me to explain it in a very simple form. So that the person who questions a lot in the Darul Uloom, in the institute where fiqh and jurisprudence and hadith, Quran is taught, and he'll continue to ask. That's adab. That's good adab, because he wants to learn. But in the khanka where the soul and the ruh, tazkiyah is performed, the best student is he who stays silent, does taqleed of the shaykh and follows the shaykh blindly. Doesn't question. Even in the madrasa, speaking is good, but in the khanka, sometimes speaking is not good. So adab, first learn the principles of adab for the ulum, the ilm that you're learning, how to sit, how to look at the teacher, how should I arrive to the shaykh, how should I present myself to my teacher, do I greet my teacher? First and foremost, when a student goes to his shaykh, this is the first sabak, the first lesson that teach the student adab, good manners, behavior, respect. And if we don't get this adab, then takabbur will not come out of our hearts, pride. And with pride, a student can never learn any uloom. And takabbur, pride, will never allow adab to come into you. So this is the sign of takabbur, pride. Takabbur, oh why should I listen to him? Why is he saying this? Does he think he knows more? So what if I sit down like this? Why are you doing like this? Why are you telling me to do like this? So students, new students, etc. This is, look how that student's sitting. What's wrong with him? Why is he going to that extreme? Why is he speaking like this? What's this? Why do we have to speak in a low volume? Why can't we do this, etc.? But he hasn't understood, this student, that the principles of this Darul Ulum, these are the lessons that you have to learn. If you want to get ilm from this institute, the Khanka, then these are the manners and the respect principles. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn this knowledge, because we are students, we are talib ilm. May not be that we try hard all our life long and life passes and we don't attain anything. How sad and fortunate that would be. So we should learn the principles of ulum, the ulum of the Khanka, the spiritual ulum. Then we should follow them, implement them. Then dhikr of Allah, when we do it, it will become a beautiful assistant for us. When a person sits in maraqabah, silent dhikr, the more he has comportment, the more respect and regard he has for what he's doing, the more the fuyuz and the barakat will come into that person's heart. It's written, the mashayikh have stated, that the shaykh sees his murids, his students around him, and he can see that they have different conditions and levels and emotions and situations. So when a person sits and does maraqabah, the connection is made between him and Allah. And Allah is the one who gives everything, isn't it? So Allah knows everything, what's happening, what the person's thinking in his heart. He knows our batin, how sincere is this person, how many manners does he have and respect. Does he really want to learn this ilm? Why has he come? How much does he love me? And if he loves me, he wants to learn my ulum, my knowledge, different knowledge. So when Allah sees a person who is full of respect and he wants to learn Allah's name and he wants to do the dhikr of Allah, so it's not adab towards the shaykh. When we have respect for the shaykh, you're not worshipping and going out of your way for the shaykh. You are doing this for the sake of Allah. So when you do this for the sake of Allah, then Allah's fuyuz and blessings and grace comes. Many people we've heard, that individual goes, sits with his shaykh, alhamdulillah, within a week he has succeeded, and his shaykh gives him the maqams, the levels, and sends him away to continue the work. There are examples of this. Hazrat Shahabuddin Suhrawardi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, this occurred with him also. And his jamaat said, what's this? Just been a few days. His fellow student said, he's only been a few days in front of our shaykh, and within a few days he's been made a khalifa, a deputy. How can he get so much nearness to Allah and you, O shaykh? He said, what can I do? He had the oil and he had the light. I just had to strike the light and he sparked into life, said his shaykh. He had the desire, the passion, the respect. His shaykh said, the heat is not me. He brought everything already in advance, and all I did was bring forth the spark, and mashallah, he ran with it. So may Allah Ta'ala give us sincerity so we can learn this path of tasawwuf, The learn the ilm of Allah, the respect for the teacher, this world will become illuminated, the hereafter will become illuminated, the grave will become illuminated, the doors of Jannah will open. This is great deen to do dhikr, as much as you can do dhikr, to go to a khanqah, sit in the company of a sheikh, to go towards the sheikh, to sit in his company and do dhikr, is a dream for everyone in this day and age. For me, it looks like we're in a trance. We're in a vision. How much we think, if we think there was a wali Allah, we went to him, we sat in his gathering, we start remembering Allah in our hearts, and then we think, whoosh, what have I done for the last few decades of my life? I've wasted so much time. How did I miss all of this? So my brothers, inshallah, we should try hard. And first and foremost, whatever ilm you are learning, knowledge you are learning, learn the principles of that knowledge. How do I go to the class? And how do I hold my bag? And how do I hold my books? And how do I learn the points of the knowledge from the teacher? Learn these points, absorb these points, whether you're old, young, middle-aged, whatever you are. Whoever has the knowledge of the ulum that he's going towards, this is the madrasa, these are the rules and the principles, so he leaves his ego behind, the student. Even the king has to leave his kingship, and Jahangir was a king. Imagine, and he wasn't like the king of these days, he had a sultanate, kingdom lands. When he would go to see his sheikh, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullahi alayhi, how would he travel to meet his sheikh? Tell me, what a great king, the king of the Indian subcontinent, and he's going to meet the wali Allah in his village? Imagine, for miles away from the village, he'd tell his army, stop, take the shoes off. He'd take his shoes off, and he wasn't some minor individual, he was the king of his time, of such a big land. He'd take his shoes off, barefoot he would walk, that I'm going to meet my sheikh, I don't want to disrespect my sheikh. What did he attain? And so many tens of thousands of students he himself had. And subhanAllah, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani took the hand of Jahangir, the king, and said, oh Jahangir, I'm giving you that status. Listen, that when I'll go to the court of Allah in the hereafter, Allah will ask me, what have you brought with you? I'll say, Allah brought Jahangir with me. SubhanAllah. What a great example. We say that only the poor people become walis of Allah. No, there's no differentiation between poor and rich. It's about the heart. Even the king will lower his head and he will submit himself to Allah, and even he will be elevated and high in rank. Allah gives deen and dunya to the sincere people. But take the kabbur out of the lives. Take pride out of the lives. All these points I'm making, this story or narration, that's what we need to do. Not just eating chapatis and chickens and other foods. We just prayed 5 times a day, that's enough. No, there are many paths to Allah, my brothers. The test of our love will be coming. Allah has made Jannah levels, houses, beautiful luxury. We cannot imagine even 0.1%. We cannot even imagine. They are all waiting for us. I swear by Allah, paradise is waiting. That when's this man going to come? But we don't want to earn paradise. Yes, we want to learn, live a routine life, get up, do X, Y, Z, and we don't want to go beyond that. We should struggle to every single hair's width on our body to attain paradise. Allah has made paradise, levels in paradise, beautiful comforts. Allah says everybody will go into paradise. Whoever's recited the kalma, he's going to eventually get into paradise. He's definitely going to get paradise. He's going to get the hoor, the maidens, the wives. But permanent, forever, forever is Jannah. And do you want that, for example, your neighbor is sat on such a high level in paradise and you're sat in the bottom most level? What will be your hal? There'll be no promotion. There'll be no promotion at the time. That Allah will say that you had the time in the world, planet Earth, to earn. Why didn't you earn more? He'll say, no, Allah, that was enough for me, the fard. I don't need to do nafal and voluntary extractions and etc. Why do I need to go to Hazrat, my sheikh? Why do I have to sit there and listen to him? What am I going to learn from that? So just think like this every second, that I need to make my house the highest level of paradise. So what difference does it make to me if 3 hours, 2 hours, I go and sit in the company of a fakir, wali Allah, then I'm going to get the highest level in paradise. Just by sitting in the company of a pious friend of Allah, by listening to his words, by just seeing his blessed face, this road, Allah Ta'ala opens the paths. He's given us these paths. So many paths Allah's open to his nearness, but we are wasting these opportunities, tell me, brothers. So can we now become equivalent to that person who's on the high level? I'm just saying normally, that there are some people who've come here from far, they've traveled far, they come every Thursday from far. So how can I compete with them? Because I've just come from locally, round the corner. Yes, my house is here, nearby. How can I compare to their efforts? But does Allah Ta'ala not know? That person is left his home and everything and traveled. I've also come to do dhikr in the name of Allah, and so is he. But there's a difference in the love, in the passion, in the zeal. There's a difference in his passion, his adab, his manners, his rule. He has so much respect for the name of Allah that he knows that in a certain location in Bolton, let's go from Blackburn, from this town, they're in front of you. Ask them, those people who've come from those areas, have they been given an invitation? No. This is called ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whoever Allah Ta'ala wants to give His grace, His mercy, His blessings, He opens the doors for the person. That the path from Blackburn to Bolton could be 5 minutes. For us, it looks like maybe an hour. If somebody says to me, go to Blackburn, there's a sheikh, he's doing dhikr, will you go? I'll say, do I need to go? No, I've got some work to do. Thousands of excuses will come to mind. It's not fard, is it, that I have to go there to meet a sheikh? If he comes to my masjid in my location, I'll come. If he speaks, then I'll listen. These are the tests and trials of life that Allah Ta'ala gives to all of us. Is that the courage and determination you had? Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment. But Allah Ta'ala has brought those people from far. So we should be proud of them. Our hair should stand on end. That Allah loves them so much. Allah has given them steadfastness, regularity, istiqamah. May Allah Ta'ala protect them from the takabbur. And every one of us should strive, make effort. And He knows that if He's traveling for the sake of Allah. And me, do I know if I'm going to get Jannah? Allah will say, get away from you. The doors of paradise are open for you. You didn't try. But the other side, the other people, they never blinked an eye. They'd run, they'd drive, they'd get to the masjid, to the majlis, even though they come from very far. It's like they are living in our locality. And it could be that there are people who are lazy, that they hear about the majlis, they don't go. But the others who come from afar, they come from far. There are people even locally who leave their shops, they leave their business, they put the shutters down. Come, let's go to Bolton. And hear how many of the Bolton brothers are here compared to those who've come from afar. Isn't there a difference? There's dhikr happening here, and there's no tawajjuh, no focus. What's dhikr? Why do I have to go? Allahu Akbar. Quran, hadith, full. Full about the rewards, the virtues, the necessity of dhikr. Can there be a bigger hadith than this, greater hadith? When you do dhikr in a majlis, it's my majlis, Allah says. It's my gathering. You're sitting in my gathering, Allah says. Tell me, do we need more than that to encourage us? We say, no, I ain't got time to go, it's important. So brothers, will we try? Yes, inshallah. We will inshallah attain Jannah. So today the first lesson is what? That we, if we want to learn tasawwuf, purification of the soul, first step is what? Adab. He who has adab has a good destiny, he who has bad adab has a bad destiny, a bad future. And where do you learn this from? Adab. Manners, behavior, respect. If you have muhabbat, love, then the adab will come as well. So learn adab. There are many kitabs, books that our pious predecessors have written about adab. What is adab? What is respect? How to sit, go and meet the sheikh, how to sit in front of him. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Iftani, rahmatullahi, he's written about this subject of adab. Every sheikh, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, great sheikh he was, as we know. Everyone has written about adab. Great big kitab. So it must be an important topic. Why not? If Allah said in the Quran what is adab, then of course we need to read the kitabs about adab. Allah has told the Sahaba Karam and all the ummah in the Quran that how we should respect and look and speak to the Prophet. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina mursaleen. Allahumma salli ala سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمين أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته بأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا. اے میرے مولا ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. اے میرے مولا ہم پہ رحم فرما. اے میرے مولا ہم پہ رحم فرما. اے میرے مولا ہم پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. اے میرے مولا ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما لے. یا اللہ ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما لے. اے میرے مولا ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما لے. اے میرے مولا جنت کے اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جنت کے اعلیٰ مقامات نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں اعلیٰ درجے کی جنت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں جہنم سے پناہ مانگتے ہیں. یا میرے مولا ہم جہنم سے پناہ مانگتے ہیں. یا اللہ ہمیں جہنم کی آگ سے پناہ مانگتے ہیں. جہنم کے عذابوں سے پناہ مانگتے ہیں. اے میرے مولا تو ہمیں بخش دے. یا اللہ ہم سب کو بخش دے. یا اللہ پوری امت کو بخش دے. یا اللہ پوری امت کو بخش دے. یا اللہ تو ہم پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے سارے کاموں کو بہتر فرما دے, آسان فرما دے. یا اللہ ہماری مرضی کے مطابق فرما دے. یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا. یا کریم تو فضل و کرم سے ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے, یا اللہ ہمارے لواحقین کی بخشش فرما دے, یا اللہ پوری امت کی بخشش فرما دے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, والسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین. آمین.